I think year two, you're going to see him absolutely freaking explode.
Yep. Yep.
Bold predictions go wrong. League MVP.
All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Hello, what's up, Pels Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Network. I'm your host, Ben, and I reckon I am about a drunk scale level 3 at the moment. I'm going to go with, yeah, why not? You gotta enjoy yourself sometimes when it's very, very bleak out there at the moment. We're here to discuss some Pels talk after, obviously, I think last time we spoke was when Van Gundy just got announced. So, season's crouching up. There's a lot to talk about. Obviously, some new acquisitions, the first pre-season game the other night. And, joining me is Jason as ever. Jason, how you doing? What's your number?
Doing good. I'll go with a 1. I had some beers with lunch today and then got home. Had a cocktail and I'm drinking a beat of Straw Gator. I'll go with the 1. It's still early for me. It's only 2:00 here today, and I got a party to go to tonight, which I'm sure I'll be drinking. So can't get too shit-faced early, but I'm excited. You know, it's the NBA season has just, with the truncated off season, it's just kind of crept up, and we've got the first real games next week. It's kind of wild.
A lot of exciting things to do. And what's a party? I just want to know, what is that? We don't seem to have those over here. We're not allowed them.
We're not on full lockdown now. A party is where your friends invite you. You go to their house, and nobody wears a mask. Everybody's just hanging out. It's kind of like the good old days.
I think I remember those.
I need to have friends to go to those.
Ben, the last party me and you went to together was not good. So let's not discuss parties.
What party? Oh God, yeah, Jesus! I was just trying to think back. That was interesting.
I'm sure that was Beth a high will number.
That was a high number. That was a high number night. That was.
It was very high. Yeah.
I reckon we were 15s.
Oh shit!
Well, I was probably a 20.
Almost getting kicked out the bar for standing on the table.
Anyway.
So that's just the James Baker you can hear there. James, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Ben. I am actually drinking this evening. I've had one beer so far, so that's probably a 0.5 for me. It's Saturday, it's nearly Christmas, there's NFL games on in an hour and a half.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. The wife has gone out, so yeah, I'll crack open a beer.
Oh, happy days. That's all good. 2 podcasts today for you, so I'll let you do a shameless plug on what you were just doing earlier today.
Oh yeah, there's a podcast over here called Shant Club NFL, and they had Delvin Bro and Jeff Reinbold, the Sky NFL analyst. So they invited me on to speak to them, and I had a good chat with Delvin Bro, which was nice. And hopefully, fingers crossed, in the new year, we will be getting them both onto the Dome Patrol Saints podcast.
Another great recruitment pickup there, that is, by you. Well done. So we're here to talk Pels. Shall we go back chronological, shall we? From the Van Gundy hire. Obviously, we then had the big free agent acquisition, Adams. I take it we're all extremely happy about that.
Well, it was a trade.
Yeah. I was sad to see Drew get traded away, but I understood it. It sucks because I really loved him and he was awesome for the city for so long. But you could just kind of, if getting the assets that we got for him, and I know sometimes draft picks can be overvalued a little bit, especially if you don't know exactly. I mean, the Heat, the Bucks are really good. Could it be end of the first round? But at least they're far enough out in the future where, depending on what Giannis does, you never know. So you hate to see him go, but I like the fact that we got a guy in. He's a young – I mean, he's only 27, 28. But he is a veteran. I mean, he's been in the league for a while. But just we need a defensive attitude. That was a huge problem for the Pelicans last year. So, and combined with Van Gundy, you can kind of see in already the two preseason games, the renewed emphasis on defense and rebounding, which is something we were incredibly poor at before.
Definitely. I think that's the whole main focus, I think, was just sorting his defense out. And we've got enough talent on the offense to really let it just take care of itself.
I was going to say, well, now you've got a premier defensive point guard, Lonzo Ball. I know Drew Holiday was good defense, but Lonzo Ball is a really good defensive point guard. And now you've got a center who really does play defense well, rebounds exceptionally well. You know, I've watched some clips of him setting picks, and some of the picks he sets are, well, they're brilliant. They look really painful for the person that's being picked. You know, you imagine that Ingram and Zion are gonna feast off of the pick and roll with Adams in the team. You know, I think signing Adams or trading for Adams was a really, really important move for this team, because, you know, the core of the team is young, really young. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brandon Ingram's what, 26, 25, 26?
23.
He's only 23, isn't he? Yeah.
He's a young.
Zion's 20. Lonzo's in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. You just need that mean, nasty presence in the paint. And I think we've got that now. He's got a fairly good injury record, I think.
Yeah. I can't recall him being, you know, that injured.
Derek Favors, you know, wasn't bad, but, you know, he had the Anthony Davis, you know, made of cardboard.
Yeah, and he had a rough season too. Like, his mom died, so it was a weird season for him. And you can kind of, I mean, the fact that he went back to Utah was kind of like, you know, he really probably didn't want to be here.
No.
Yeah.
But you know, one good thing about Adams, you know, there was like a player poll, who's the strongest player in the league, and he got the most votes of being the strongest player in the league. And he does the dirty little things that not a lot of guys care about. Like, he doesn't care about points, he doesn't care about necessarily stats, but he'll do what needs to be done to help
to win a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we need. You know, we got the stars to make the flash plays like Ingram and Zion, but you need like Adams to be that guy who does the dirty work that you don't really notice that will end up getting you into the playoffs.
And this wasn't a 1-year thing. They signed him to a 2-year extension at a reasonable, the extension was at a reasonable price. I know this year, I think his salary is like 26, 27 million, but his extension is only like 17 million per, which is really, really reasonable. So I was pleased with that. And I know some of the national guys were like, oh, Adams doesn't really fit, we can't space the floor. A lot of that is based on the current, you know, pace and space model. You just space the floor and 3-point shooting. But over the course of the first two preseason games, you can kind of see we're attacking the basket a lot more than we were before. We're not selling for jump shots. And I know, look, the NBA has turned to more outside shooting, 3-point shooting, according to the numbers. But over this first two games, we've really pushed it and driven to the paint. And it's shown in terms of our free throw attempts. I mean, we had 41, 42 free throw attempts last night.
Yeah. One thing that Zion's saying he's getting better at is free throw shooting, and he's going to get a lot of chances in there.
Yeah, he had double-digit free throw attempts in both games. And he made a lot. Now, the rest of the team, you know, I think overall as a team, we're still under where we need to be. But luckily they've got, you know, Fred Vinson, the guy who fixed Lonzo's shot, and he worked with Zion on his free throws. I think he can help in that aspect. But I like the renewed emphasis on attacking the paint, you know, pushing the action instead of just, oh, yeah, I'll just settle for a long jumper and nobody goes to rebound, and the other team has a fast break. And it just killed this team so much under Gentry.
Well, going back as far as 3 years ago, which was the last game I went to see the Pelicans play live, you know, you had Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins playing in that game. And I could not believe the amount of 3-point shots that they were taking in the game. You're like, hang on a minute, you've got two dominant big men. Get the ball inside, get the ball in the paint, you know, but it just, that's not Gentry. That just wasn't Gentry's style, was it?
No, it was frustrating because it's like Cousins is a 7-foot bully. I mean, he can do so much stuff in the paint. Even Davis, just post him up. Nobody can. He's got the wingspan. Just post him up. But no, just shooting threes. It's like, yeah. And then the problem is when that happens, they're not down there to get a miss, to get a rebound.
Yeah.
And it just it crushes you. That's the one biggest thing that I've noticed from the two games under Van Gundy is the renewed emphasis on being in the paint and rebounding.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be vital because, you know, Zion is, you know, you said DeMarcus Cousins was a bully. Zion is going to be a problem in the paint this year. Doesn't matter who he's up against. Yeah. You know, it looks as though he's in shape.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Than he was when he came back into the bubble. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be a problem. He's got the year of experience, and you've already seen it in his stats in the two preseason games. What was it, 31 points last night?
Yeah, 31 and 10 rebounds. I mean, that's, you know, as much as he was able to score last year, I think most rebounds he ever got in a game was like 6 or 7. Like, that's it.
Yeah. He's going to average a double-double this year, isn't he?
It's kind of trending that way, or at least be close in rebounds. But it seems like he's going to average at least 27, 28 points game, if not more. Because that's the thing, too. They said he came in, he was in shape, no restrictions. He played over 30 minutes in both games.
Yeah. No, it's very exciting to think about what he might be able to do this year. Very, very exciting.
Mm. He, as I was saying, we did the bold prediction, sure to go wrong on the Dome Patrol Saints podcast. Bomb for Pelicans. Zion Williams, MVP. Bold prediction.
If you, like, let's say they're fully healthy and Zion averages, let's say he averages like 30-9 or 30-10, and we get like the 5 seed somehow.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be in the conversation.
Yeah.
I think minimum you're asking from this team this year is to get into the playoffs.
Oh, has to be.
Yeah. And I know the West is so tough.
But still,
but
there's too much talent.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I look at it. And we didn't even talk about, you know, in addition to the trade, getting Eric Bledsoe over in the trade. And
yeah.
he and JJ didn't play the first game for COVID protocols and precautions, but he played last night. And, man, he, you know, when we kind of struggled a little bit because Milwaukee took the lead in the third quarter, and then he came in and, I mean, I was surprised. Like, I didn't know a ton about him, but I just kind of know he's got a reputation for folding in the playoffs. But in the regular season – he's been a really good player, and he really impressed me last night.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not going to be in the starting five, though, is he?
It's going to be. It's going to be
starting shooting guard.
Yeah, it's going to be Lonzo, Bledsoe, Ingram, Zion Adams. Yeah, it's our starting five. So, I mean, he's not quite as good a defender as Drew, but he's pretty good. He just doesn't have. Like, Drew could go and guard a small forward. I don't think Bledsoe can. He's a little shorter, but he's a good defender in terms of you know, we can put him on a guard on a guard and he'll be fine. So, and that's the thing. It's like I know that the shortened off season. I honestly thought that they'd get off to a slow start because you're new coach, new system, bringing in some new players. I just thought the shortened off season was going to be tough. I figured it might take him a while to really get going, and it still might. And look, we can't really overreact the preseason because we're undefeated. Over the last 2 years, we're undefeated in the preseason.
The problem with the Pelicans has been recently, it's always been slow starts, hasn't it? You know, we're already like 2-7 or 2-10. We're around about that sort of mark when we start the season. It's just been atrocious. So if we could just
go, is that a New Orleans thing? Saints don't start well. Pelicans don't start well.
What's going on Airline Drive, huh? What are they doing over there?
But I think the main thing for a successful season, especially in the West where it's so loaded, I think it's going to be following COVID protocol as well. You know, not having... Because, yeah, a player in the NFL might miss, a game or two under COVID protocol. In the NBA, that's 4 or 5 games potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at 2 weeks... Yeah, you're looking at like 6-7 games potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, potentially. So that's going to be that for me is going to be health and for how they follow COVID is going to be the biggest thing.
Well, the NBA are so games are home and away, aren't they? So you will go to if you play in the Lakers, you will go and play in the Staples Center. I'm assuming.
Yeah, Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every year. And I think it seems like because they released the first half of the schedule and only the first half, I guess, so that if there are COVID issues, they can kind of adjust the second half. But it seems like it's kind of like games in pods. Like you'll go to an area, like if you go on a road trip, you go and you'll play like the California teams or, you know, you kind of go in sections. You can kind of limit your travel and kind
so
of
you'll
stay
play
in a
the Kings,
geographical
the Clippers,
area.
You'll play the Kings, the Clippers, and the Lakers.
The Lakers,
then you'll
the Warriors.
Maybe, yeah, the Nets, yeah. The Knicks, the Celtics, yeah. And mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, and to limit the travel costs for teams with, you know, the decrease in revenue with not a lot of fans. I think there are only going to be 7 teams at the start of the season that are allowing fans in the arena.
Are the Pelicans one?
We are. They're allowing 750.
Are you in with the chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was talking with Courtney, and he said, I'm going to get – so full season ticket holders will get a slight priority over, like, half season or packages. Mm. They haven't really explained how the lottery is going to work yet, but I would anticipate – you know, getting at least one of the first handful of games. Again, I don't know exactly how it's going to work yet. And hopefully it at least stays at 750, and maybe it'll grow once more vaccines get out there and we'll see what the numbers look like. But yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in the pool. So.
That'd be good. It's going to be exciting year. I can't wait for it.
Yeah. I want to temper my expectations, but let's
be honest. There's always been something holding us down as Pelicans fans, whether it's been front office being shit, head coach being shit, having Davis who's just injury prone. We seem to have fixed. Well, hopefully, we fixed the front office. We fixed the coach now. We've still got a superstar in Zion, and don't forget, he's on a max contract. I'd class Brandon Ingram as a superstar now as well. So we've got two absolute superstars and great supporting cast. You know, this is the best shape that I think the Pelicans has potentially ever looked going into a season.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to argue. I think the front office is 100% fig. I have a lot of faith in whatever they decide to do. A lot more than I did in Dell Demps. And then
yeah.
You know, like I like Monty Williams as a coach. I thought we were trending well, and then we got rid of him. And then bringing in, from the second we hired Gentry, I didn't like it. It wasn't right. And you saw it. Like that's one thing the guys talked about this week. It's like, oh yeah, we had a 2.5-3 hour practice this week. Last year, our practices were 45 minutes. I'm like, what?
Like, that's just.
Well, and I think that's part of that was the issue with Gentry is like he can, if you're a veteran team, that's probably more up his alley. But when you got guys that are just getting into the NBA and need to learn shit, you can't have 45 minute practices. And it showed, if you think about it, it showed in the games last year. I mean, how many games, not in addition to the slow start, how many games did we just blow at the end? We had leads and we choked, we gave it up. And you saw that. And I think that's one huge, huge difference you're going to see this year with Van Gundy. We're going to be a lot more prepared, a lot more ready to handle things like it happened last night. We got off to a really big lead early. And I know it's preseason, but we got off to a really big lead early. They got close. They took the lead in the third quarter. And yet we came back and took it over and easily won the game.
Mm. I'm really also – we've also talked about Zion – but seeing how the other guys go into year two, like we didn't really see much of Alexander Walker last year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him, Jackson Hayes, in year two and see what they can bring to the table.
Alexander Walker didn't play a minute last night.
No, that was interesting because I thought he did really well in the first game.
Mm, yeah.
So maybe it was just a chance to get some other guys minutes because we only have 2 preseason games. Because you have to think Alexander Walker is going to be a regular in this rotation this year.
You think, but then they said they tried sending him to a minor league last year, didn't they?
I think they did
the
at
G
one
League
point,
for
didn't they?
Yeah,
yeah,
went
yeah.
to the G League for a bit, didn't they?
And I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to send Kyra Lewis, their draft pick this year, to the G League because,
yeah,
it's hard for me to see him getting a ton of minutes this year.
That
but
was
now,
my next question.
So
yeah.
I would think, you know, he'll be better served in the G League, but then there's the issue of, well, with COVID protocols, what happens if, you know, couple of guys get COVID and you're short on players and you need them. So you know, I that's going to be an interesting situation to watch. I like him for the future. I just don't see him being able to find a ton of minutes.
That's right. We're lucky we're actually in this position that we are at the moment.
It is pretty incredible that when Davis wanted out, you're like, what the hell is this franchise going to be? I thought we were going to be pretty much the worst franchise in the league for a few years.
And that's the Pistons.
I mean, yeah, you know, when the Davis trade, when he said he wasn't going to re-sign, you were looking at all the potential deals that were offered. And, you know, when the Lakers deal was kind of speculated upon before it went, I was a little bit nervous about the deal that we'd taken with the Lakers. I wasn't convinced by Lonzo Ball at all. Ingram was, Josh Hart is just a bit part player. So I was, you know, I was a little bit concerned about that, but actually it's turned out to be a really good deal.
Especially when you consider what other teams have gotten for trading superstars. I mean, what we got for Chris Paul wasn't nearly this. And it always seems
you can blame the commissioner at the time for that, can't you?
Yeah. Although the original trade, I mean, on paper, it was better, you know, in terms of the players, I think we'd have still been middling. I mean, the good thing is the trade was so bad, we were able to get Davis. Problem is, we couldn't fucking do anything with it.
No.
But
What did you guys think of the LeBron interview when he was talking about Davis and his injuries?
It made me fucking angry.
It's just typical Anthony Davis, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, with the Lakers, oh, he'll fight to get on the court. With here, my back's making up, you know, or whatever it was.
Hiding. Didn't want to take responsibility.
No, and for now he doesn't. With LeBron, he doesn't have to, and that's why he's kind of
that suits him,
right? Well, what happens when? I mean, LeBron ain't gonna be around forever. You know what happens when he has to be the guy? I don't think he's gonna be able to handle it.
Well, he's gonna want to go and try and play with Giannis or go play the Warriors or. Fuck. You know, he'll go somewhere where there's always somebody that'll have more of the spotlight on him than he has.
Hopefully,
he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. Anthony Davis is a really good player.
He is a phenomenal player. Yeah.
But up here, there's something not quite there.
He seems to be a it's weird. Like the best second banana, basically.
Flaky Ben is how we would describe it over here. Flaky. He's flaky.
I was going to say something there, but I'm not. Refrain myself. But, no, let's like a season sort of preview for Pelicans. So let's say, obviously I can't go record what's your record prediction going to be, obviously, but where do you reckon we'll finish in the West?
I mean, I think if we're healthy, I mean, because it seems like if Zion plays a full season, there's no reason why we can't get like the seven seed, you know, like seven seed. You know, eight seed, especially a lot of people are still penciling the Rockets. I mean, at some point they're trading Harden. So whenever that happens, they're going to go in the tank. So they're not.
Did you see him and how fat he was?
Yeah.
He's not come back in shape at all.
He looked like he was hanging out in Las Vegas and throwing out money at a stripper party.
Yeah.
It's wild what he's, because apparently like a story came out, like he basically controlled the organization. Whatever he wanted, they did. I mean, that's when they traded for Chris Paul, and then when they got rid of Paul and brought in Westbrook. And now that it's not working, he's like, "All right, peace out. I'm out." It's like
he's another arsehole, though, isn't he, James Harden?
Well, he is, and some of this too is the player empowerment movement. They've kind of allowed it to go so far one way that these players are just wrecking franchises and screwing over your fan base, the people that support your team and support your league. And I think now certain people are starting to realize, hey, maybe this ain't such a good idea. You know, I mean, look, once you hit free agency, sure, players have the right to go where they want, but the forcing trades to certain spots is just so not good for the league as a whole. And
the commissioner's got to take responsibility for that.
And part of it is like, you know, ESPN always promotes, oh God, where's Davis going? Where's Giannis going? I'm sure they were so disappointed when Giannis signed his extension.
That's the best thing that's happened for the league.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, who are they? But they're not going to stop. Who are they going to, they're going to find somebody next. And then eventually they'll start talking about Zion. Unless we start winning big, they're going to start talking about Zion. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Even if we started winning big, they talk about Zion. Look at the Bucks were like number one in the East. And they're still talking about Giannis leaving.
I fucking hate all the ESPN and the national people that keep promoting that kind of shit because it's awful. It's awful for the league, and somehow it just keeps going. And it's just bad for the league in general, I think.
Which is the point of American sports, is why I find American sports so fascinating. You haven't got the superpower like you do in the Premier League and European football over here, where it's the same names year after year because they're the ones with the biggest money and biggest pool power. That's the idea of the American sporting system, the draft picks and etc. You might be
competitive
the
balance.
That's the best way to put it. And now the players get in the way. The trades they want, you're just completely shoving the competitive balance over.
Who started the push to player power and the anti-competitive balance? It was LeBron James with the decision, wasn't it?
Yep, 100%. Yep, 100%.
He'd spoken to Chris Bosh and he'd spoken to Dwayne Wade and he was like, right, let's build a super team down in Miami. And Chris Bosh, as soon as he got into that, it was like, right, well, I'm not going to re-sign with you. And I'm going to sign for Miami when my deal's up. Mm-hmm. That was the start of it. It never happened before then, did it? Really?
Not really. I mean, even when you got the big three together in Boston for that title season, and I don't think it was necessarily players like, hey, man, let's go play over here. It was just, somehow the organizations did it and it worked out. It wasn't the players deciding it, I don't think.
No, I mean, look, the NBA has had a couple of dynasty teams, you know, in our generation, obviously the Bulls, but the Bulls drafted Michael Jordan, drafted Scottie Pippen. You know, that's ridiculous. Then they signed Dennis Rodman in free agency. It's very different.
And even in the first go round. Now they may have traded for Pippen, but they did that like in year one or two. They did it very, very early, but then they drafted Horace Grant. You know, that was their core three the first time. And then the second three-peat, They signed Dennis Rodman.
They didn't draft Pippen, did they? They traded for him. You're right. Mm-hmm.
But so, Pippen didn't play for anyone else, did he, before?
No. It might have been like a draft night kind of.
It was a draft night kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, and that was the way it was. Like the, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly how the Celtics were made, but I know they drafted Bird. I'm guessing they drafted McHale and maybe they signed Parrish, but. Like the Pistons, you know, drafted Isaiah Thomas, those guys.
That's how you're supposed to win. You know, you draft well. It goes back to like, you know, the NFL. You know, most your teams aren't built on free agency. Your team should be built on the draft.
Yeah, Spurs. Those are draft picks.
The Spurs, you know, they got lucky with Tim Duncan, didn't they? But then they drafted
Parker Lade and Ginobili in the second round. You know, they found these guys. And then, you know, you sign your pieces around them, but your core stars, just homegrown. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that it seems to be where, I mean, I know they traded for Ingram and Ball, but moving forward, it seems like that's the route they're going to go for now is to build these young guys up and together. And I think that's better for full-on sustained winning.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, we've got a million draft picks in the next 6 years, haven't we? And one of those is going to turn into a higher pick than we think, I reckon.
Eventually,
And we've got the ability to move up in drafts if we need to. And, you know, between us and, is it Oklahoma? I think they basically own the draft for the next 5 years. So regardless of what happens this year, you know, we're going to be in a good place moving forward. I mean, in terms of a prediction, I think we've got to be aiming. I think the ceiling is the sixth seed.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard to crack. Like, we're not going to be, you know, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, probably the Jazz.
Mavericks as well.
Maybe the Mavericks. You know, I know a lot of people... I know a lot of people are high on Portland still, but I don't know. I think we're just as good as Portland.
Why the fuck can we be in the East?
Right? I hate...
It's like saying, why couldn't the Saints have been in the AFC East for the past 10 years? It doesn't work that way.
No.
Well,
just it's New Orleans is central, isn't it? So you could even put him on the east or the west. Like,
right.
It
just happened. Yeah,
no, and not only the west, being in the division with the Spurs and the Mavericks and even like Memphis is up and coming this. And but even when Memphis was good, it's like we're stuck in pretty much the hardest division in the league. It's frustrating.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the ceiling for me is the sixth seed. If we go any higher, then we've had an exceptional year. But we've got to be looking to get at least the sixth seed. I mean, the floor, we could miss the playoffs again this year. You know, it could happen.
Say that.
No, but it could, though.
Yeah, it could really well could. Happen, yeah.
You know, in the West, there are 10 good teams.
You've got to really make your home games count, I think, this year. You've really got to, you know, and not drop stupid road games like Minnesota still haunts me last year. Like when we were on a complete playoff push, obviously pre-COVID this was, and then they just absolutely dropped the ball in Minnesota.
And like I said, I think that's something where I think that's going to be one of the big improvements this year with Van Gundy, the attention to detail, the not blowing winnable games like that. I think that's going to be a big difference. And dude, that can make 5, 6, 7 game difference. You know, that can be difference in playoffs, out playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So has anyone got any final thoughts at all before?
It'll be fun. It's crazy to think first game's Wednesday at Toronto, but it's technically at Tampa because Toronto can't play in Canada this year. So they're playing
2 years
games
in a row. They're opening the season away at Toronto then.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
what's that? They can't play in Toronto because of COVID, or
yeah, it's Canada COVID thing. So all their home games are in Tampa this year.
So I'm assuming that's why we're playing Miami on Christmas Day then, because you're in the area. And then are we playing Orlando whilst we're there? I mean,
I think we're coming back home. We got the first two games on the road, then we're coming back home.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, it's going to be on the telly over here, and it'll be on before the Saints game.
Saints game, yeah, it's going to work out just fine. The Pelicans game is over, then you get like an hour to tailgate for the Saints game, and then here we go.
On Christmas Day, I'm going to be tailgating from 9 o'clock in the morning. That's all.
You can't do anything else, James. Christmas has been cancelled over here. So.
Well, yeah, not quite, but for some people it has, but not for all of us. Us Northerners are okay.
You're a southerner at heart, let's be honest.
I am interested to see what the lack of, and I know they did it in the bubble with no crowds, but being in these giant arenas with little or no crowds is going to be very interesting. How the atmosphere is going to be. I can't wait to go see a game just to, it's like, because it's like when I yell and cheer, everybody's going to be able to hear me.
Yeah. And same for tomorrow for you. You're going up to the dome.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, aren't you?
I'm looking forward to that too. It's going to be weird, but at least I do get to see Breeze, at least hopefully not the last time, but possibly the last time.
Are you in your usual seat or
no?
Are you in the lower
section? I'm in one of the end zones. Like, I think it's section 127.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
So, we'll see you doing it on the TV then.
Yeah, hopefully when Lutz makes his kicks.
So, we'll see you on the Instant Reaction Pod tomorrow from your seat.
Either that or maybe as I'm walking out, I was thinking about that. I'll probably just do it on my phone. Like, maybe right when I walk out the dome, I'll call in.
Is this the first game you will be attending live with our WhatsApp group going?
I mean, I think we probably had it last year.
Yeah, we had it last year.
Yeah, we had it last year.
Yeah, we had it last year.
But I'm definitely going to be, once I sit in, I'm definitely going to send pics during the game just to hopefully capture the weirdness.
Yeah, no, please do. Right. But mate, I'm so jealous that you are going to that game tomorrow. I really am. Not just the fact that it's the Chiefs, the fact that you are going to the game.
I'm thrilled. Because I'm thinking, I mean, I haven't been to a professionals. Well, whenever the Pelicans, so I guess February would have been the last Pelicans game, or maybe early March, maybe. But yeah,
madness. What a weird year 2020 is, and hopefully it's going to be all over soon.
Fingers crossed.
Yep.
Fingers crossed. So that's all the show we have for you right now. I want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion, the Instant Reaction Show for the New Orleans Saints, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS&B podcast, Pelican Plunge that you're listening to, and the Premier League podcast when I decide not to cut my wrists. and also taking the over with Billy Gunn. Yes, that's how bad the Premier League's got for me. We'll go into that. In, I think we might have a counselling session in the future. But make sure you do follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer podcast at BS Beer Media and Taking the Over at Taking the Over. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Deck out.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, off-season donkeys. I was waiting for it.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Flock up.
Oh. Fuck you, Alvin Gentry.
Somebody was supposed to say something else then, weren't they?
Yeah, that's all right.
Never mind. Pounds, I'm working to smash and drown all you circus clowns. You try to diss and get your limbs crushed like ants' eggs. From my fate to where my Thames touch my pants legs. We indestructible crush these magnificent kings. Be overlooked by overlooking insignificant things. That bullshit that you bring. So you can always bring this back for you. So you can always bring this back for you. So you can always bring this back for you.